So, in our exploration, we've exploring Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And we've just finished that exploration of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the last thing we spoke, when we spoke about Elokecha, about He is all the powers, we spoke about the concept of Tzimtzum, which is, you know, God constricted Himself into this physical world, which was when we spoke about, you know, Bereshit Bara Elokim, which you loved, about the first thing God created, the first thing Ein Sof created was Elokim, was a Tzimtzum, was an ability, was a constricted form of Him that allows a separation, allows room for us, right? It allows room for something else to exist within the Ein Sof. And that was our last exploration. And now, what we're going to try to really explore is this phenomenal concept that's called Shlemut and Ishtalmut, okay? Being perfect and becoming perfect. Okay? And that the Tzimtzum allows for this reality. So we're looking at source number one. Mavinim anu b'shlemut ha'elokit ha'mukhletet shnei arachim shel ashlama. In the perfect perfection of Ein Sof, there's two. Erech echad shel ashlama, shemitzad gdola u'gmirata ein shayach b'osafa shel mala. One part of perfection is that he's just perfect, and there's nothing, there's no adding to it, no detracting from it. It's just perfect the way it is. But if the perfect being doesn't have an ability to be non-perfect, then is he really perfect? Right? Can somebody who's totally perfect choose to not be perfect? If he can't, then he's not perfect. Right? So within the reality of God being completely perfect, God created an ability for something unperfect to become perfect. A part of Him that's a part of Him that would be unperfect, that would grow into perfection. Okay? Because if something was completely and ultimately perfect, it wouldn't be perfect, because it doesn't within it include the possibility of becoming perfect. Okay?
But if he becomes perfect, then he's perfect again.
Right. Only if he chooses the option of also being not perfect and becoming perfect is he truly perfect, right? Meaning a person who never missed a shot is not a perfect player, because he has no ability. Person who can't miss, impossible for miss. It's a robot, right? So what's the point? You're just perfect. You're not. There's no game here. There's no growth here. There's no challenge here. You're just perfect. You can't miss. You're literally a robot. You can calculate from any place the exact velocity and angle, you know, like anything you can plug into a computer, and it won't miss from any point, right? So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is completely, completely perfect, and he can't be not perfect, then he's not perfect. The only true perfection is a perfection that allows for an option of something being not perfect that becomes perfect. Don't worry, we're going to explain this. Ki ha-shlemut olechet v'nosefet tamid, yesh ba yoter itaron ve'oneg ve'eze min ha'ala she'anu orgim la kol kach halicha michayel el chayel asher al kol al ken lo tuchal ha'shlemut ha'elokit liot chasera ze ha'itaron shel hosafat ha'koach. Right? So there's two sides to ultimate perfection. One is the ultimate perfection that is God, right? The Ein Sof, completely perfect, nothing, no possibility of any change. Then God creates a tzimtzum, a constricted reality, where now there is a form of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that is not perfect and trying to become perfect. And when that perfection reaches, when that becoming perfect reaches perfection, then he's really perfect, because he is completely perfect, while also including the possibility of a part of him that wasn't perfect that now is becoming perfect. Okay? So a person who can't miss doesn't really say much about a person. A person who's always good, you know, you literally went into his brain, took out the ego side, took out the side that is jealous, the side that is envy, and he's ultimately good. And all he does is good all day. Is that really good? He doesn't have a choice to not be good. Only when we actually struggle with the desire to be good, and it is what it is. What is Rav Kook saying? Rav Kook saying is that in order for us to really understand what role we play within this divine reality, we have to understand that there's Shleimus and Ishtalmus. God is Ein Sof, is absolutely perfect. Okay, but then absolutely perfect has no side of a relationship with anything that's not perfect. The person who is good, all good, nothing but good, all he can do is good, he can't do anything bad, then he's not really good. Not really good. He has no other options, right? And Superman, wow, he really goes into a burning building. Yeah, burning building, nothing can burn him. He has no fire, has no effect on his skin. He's not really, you know, all that great, right? And he's not a Superman. He's an alien, right? Superman would be a person who has who is not perfect and has to choose in a moment to do something that is extraordinary. Right? So in order for reach true perfection, God creates a system where he diminishes his light. He creates a vacant space within himself, right? That's the tzimtzum. God, the Ein Sof light, creates a vacant space. And in that space, he creates a reality where there is perfection and imperfection that is working towards perfection, right? So Yudke Vavke, Elokim, Adnut, all these names that we use, they're all within this building, this reality that we're working towards with perfection and imperfection, right? So in our world that we live in, God is not just perfect. God is perfect and imperfect, that is becoming perfect at the same time. What part are we?
Imperfect.
Right. We're the imperfect side of God. That is working towards perfection, right? We are the Shechina. We are the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is trying to become perfect. We're not God. That's why it's so dangerous. We're not God. We're not Yudke Vavke, okay? He is Ein Sof is not even in this game. Ein Sof doesn't play a part in this world. In this world, we have Yudke Vavke, which is transcendence, which means that He is everything's within him. He is all. Aya oviviye, bakol mikol kol. And we're within him, right? We're part of him. We're a chelek eloka mimal. We have a part of God. We are connected to God. But what part are we? We're not the perfect part. We're the opposite. We're the imperfect part that's trying to become perfect. And that's what the Torah is. The Torah is a guide for us, imperfect side of God, as a nation, as a people, as a species, to become perfect. Right? So we live in a world right now where there's this constant drive on humanity to constantly try to become perfect, become better. Right? And all we've been working towards is this constant desire to reach the most perfect version of humans that we can. Right? So God is, He is being good, and we are becoming good. So we're not really human beings, we're human becomings. Right? We're human becomings. We are becoming a better version of ourselves every day. Right? The law systems that we had 200 years ago are a joke compared to what we know today. And ways to cope with trauma 50 years ago is a joke compared to what we know today. And our understands of science and how the world works and how the potentiality of this earth, what we knew 50 years ago is a joke compared to what we know today. Right? So we are living in this world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to really desire to be the most perfect reality, creates a reality where he diminishes himself and creates a perfect version of himself that can coexist with an imperfect version of himself, which is us. And we're trying to become more perfect. So let's see Rav Kook in the second piece. Megamat Havaya Kula, the purpose of the entire existence, Mitzad ha-chefetz ha-kamus ha-ein sofi, from the desire of the Ein Sof, hi kefi higluta lanu etza gdola shel italut ve-osafat nitzchiyut, she'im ein metziut shel katan ve-chisaron lo yochal liyot gadol u-milui. Right? If there's no lacking and imperfect, there would be no reality of perfect and complete. Right? So when Kadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof, he's not even in the world of perfect. Perfect is already a measurement. Kadosh Baruch Hu is perfectless. He is limitless. He is timeless. Right? He transcends all those ideas. So even the idea of perfect is transcend. God transcends. Ein Sof transcends that. That's why he's Ein Sof. He is no limit. He transcends that. But the idea was, in order for there to really be a perfect, complete being, there needs to be a non-perfect, complete being. But not just as a contrast. Not the monotheist version. God's perfect and we're this tiny imperfect reality and therefore that's how we know he's great because we suck, right? Right? The fact that we're losers makes him phenomenal. No, not that version. The version of while we're constantly working towards a better version of ourselves, we're creating a Kiddush Hashem. We're glorifying his name by constantly working towards a better version of herself.
כלול בגם כן, זה ההכרח הנשגב של התעללות צדירית, וזה נחשב כאילו השלמות המוחלטת משתלמת על ידי השתלמות. הבא על ידי הופעת הקוטן הבא אל הגדול, והעבודה זו היא צורך גבוה. Hey, David, read to us the English.
The purpose of existence as a whole, by the hidden desire of the Ein Sof, as it is revealed to us, is a great plan for an external ascent, an increment that if there were not a reality of smallness and deficiency, there could only be greatness and completeness, but not growth. A consistent drive for increased blessing. Even though there is no end to the greatness of complete perfection to which there is no need for ascent, even so included in complete perfection is the lofty power for growth, and this is considered as if the absolute perfection is completed by the becoming perfection that comes by manifestation of the small that grows toward the great, and his work is of great necessity.
Right, so our job of becoming the best version of ourselves that we can is a great necessity for God, right? Because in order for God to really be perfect, he needs to allow for us to grow into that ability of becoming perfect. And therefore, you know, if all I do is look at my mitzvos as, you know, things that I'm doing for myself, like we were talking till before, right? You know, oh, the mitzvos are yours. Do them, do you don't do them, right? They're all advice on how to experience Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But at the end of the day, you're part of this, right? You're part of taking greatness, right? It's very good for a coach to coach, you know, the best players in the NBA, right? And bring them to a championship. Fine, they probably could do without him, right? But how do you take then a team that's really, really bad and coach them to full potential, right? That would make a great coach, right? And here what we're talking about is this idea that there's a avodat zorach kavod, this work of us making ourselves the best version of ourselves, of working towards perfection, of constantly trying to become the best version of ourselves, is a great necessity for the greatness of God. And therefore, God is only going to be perceived based on us. That's why we can always do a Kiddush Hashem or a Chil Hashem. We can create a void of God's name, or we can transcend God's name into everything, right? That's our job, right? God is going to be glorified based on the facet of him, which is us, that is trying to grow towards complete perfection. Questions? Okay, hopefully this will clarify itself. It's not our only class on this topic, just because it's not... It's very hard. It might take you like, he's going to probably spend all week or even the whole break just like trying to figure out what does this mean that we're human becomings? What does it mean becoming perfect? What does that mean that my mitzvos are part of this relationship of me trying? What does it mean that I'm part of God that's not perfect? Like what does that mean? What is the Shechina? We're the Shechina. We're Knesset Yisrael. We're God's like imperfect side. That's what does that really mean? And that's a great question that we're trying to figure that out, right? In our discourse here, but also throughout the ideas. And then Rav Kook says like this, V'zoi pli'ai. פליאת יצירת תמים דאים, שכל שינוי אינו שינוי בערכו, וכל קיום אינו שולל שום שינוי בחוקו. כי אור עליון זו היא מעלת מכל שאלות השינויים, ואי שינוי, וקיימת כמו השינוי, שניהם יחד הם ערכים שאינם הולמים יחס לעליונות האלוקות. Right? So God does not change. God did not change in creating an imperfect side of him. Right? He only creates a world where now there's an ability for an imperfect side to exist. Right? So if somebody says, if you say, I heard that it says that you're a chelek eloka mimal mamish, right? You're a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're a pintel yid, right? You're a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? What part of you of God, right? I'm the part of God that chose to be imperfect and reach perfection, right? And that's why we live in a world, if you think about it, we never reach perfection. Anytime you ever do anything, you're constantly working on it. There's no such thing as attaining a goal, right? Even if you attain some sort of a workout routine, if you're not going to keep at it, what's going to happen? You're going to lose all that muscle power, right? If you're not going to practice, you're not going to be good. If you're not going to continue watching what you eat, you're going to gain that back, right? If you're not going to continue to stay up with what's new in the department that you're studying, 3 years of not reading new material, you're going to be your light years away. We're constantly in movement, right? There is this notion where we do, can just like, no, I'll just get to a threshold and I'll be okay there. We never get there. That doesn't really exist, right? And therefore, in some idea, we live in a perfect world for people who are trying to grow, right? This is not a perfect world for people who just want to sit back and relax and do nothing, right? Doesn't work that way. But if you are trying to become the best version of yourself, this is a world full of opportunities of you being bringing out the best version of yourself. Okay, so let's see the story of philosophy. Okay, by Bergson. Dave, you want to read that to us?
Life has taken three lines in evolution. In one, it relapsed into the almost material torpor of plants and found there occasionally a supine security and cowardly tenure of 1,000 years. In another avenue, its spirit and effort congealed into the instinct, as in the ants and the bees. But in the vertebrates, it took the dare of freedom, cast off its ready-made instincts, and marched bravely into the endless risks of thought. Instinct still remains the profounder mode of visioning reality and catching essence of the world. But intelligence grows ever stronger and bolder and wider in its scope. It is at last an intelligence that life has placed its interests and its hopes. This persistency creates life of which every individual and every species is an experiment in what we mean by God. God and life are one, but this God is finite, not omnipotent, limited by matter and overcoming its inertia painfully step by step, and not omniscient by growing gradually toward knowledge and consciousness and more light. God thus defined has nothing of ready-made. He is an unceasing life, action, freedom. Creation so conceived is not a mystery. We're experiencing it in ourselves and we act freely. When we consciously choose our paths and plot our lives, our struggles and our sufferings, our ambitions and our defeats, our yearning to be better and stronger than we are, our voice and the current of the elan vital in us, the vital urge, which makes us grow and transforms this wandering planet into a theater of an unending creation. And who knows but that at last life may win with the greatest victory of all and over its ancient enemy, matter, and learn even to elude mortality. Let us have an open mind, even to our hopes. All things are possible to life if time is generous.
Okay, so Bergson is talking about Hishtalmus. What is this world? What is God? Hishtalmus, constantly moving and evolving, trying to be better, trying to be perfect. What do we speak about God? Hishtalmus. You see, the only difference is that we don't only live in a world where there's Hishtalmus. God is not only trying to become better. We're not only evolving. There's a side of us that is already perfect, right? Forget which philosopher this was, that said that the universe is God and God is the universe, he was talking about Shlemus. God is perfect. He's everything. There's no change. There's no growth. There's nothing. Bergson is telling you, no, God is Ishtalmus. He's constantly trying to move, trying to become better. Everything that's pushing us is pushing us towards a greater intellect, towards a greater version of ourselves. And we're saying, God is both. God is not this static, perfect being, and that's it. Because then there's no perfection there because there's no ability to become better. And Bergson is telling you, oh, God is just this constantly trying to become better, 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 better. And we're evolving with this God. We're all growing together. And that is also half the picture, right? And God is both of those. God is creating a reality where he is perfect and we're reaching towards somewhere where we already are. That's why Adam and Chava had to first go to Gan Eden, taste what Gan Eden is, then get kicked out and find their way back, right? First, God had to tell the world what he wanted it to be in Perek Aleph, and then in Perek Bet, just evolve, get there on your own. I told you where I think you should go. Go figure it out on your own, Perek Bet, just evolve on your own, do whatever you want, right? And that's the constant tension, right? So it's not that God is just we're not panentheists, we're not pantheism, we're saying God is everything is within, everything is God, God is perfect, God is everything, right? We adjusted that to panentheism, and then we spoke about Adnus and the difference reality between Yudke and Vavke, Yudke and Vavke. We're not saying that God is just like Brixen, just Yishtalmus, Elokecha, God's all the powers, just go manifest those powers to the perfection. But it's constantly both. God is perfect, and in order for him to be completely perfect, he created a limited version of him that is not perfect, that is constantly on a drive to become perfect. And that is us, this universe, this evolutionary process that we're in, as a species we've been evolving, as a religion we evolve, as people we evolve into a better version of ourselves, when I say ourselves, I mean the ability to become back to our source, which is God. Right? We said we had that source where we said that in the future, right, people are going to call the great tzaddikim Yudke Vavke. Right? It would be obvious that you are godly. Right? Now it's very dangerous, and this we could see why some people in Christianity were learning sod and they went off the derech. They didn't understand this in a deep way. They weren't conscious enough to develop it. People around them weren't thinking in these abstract ideas, and they heard somebody say, I'm God, and they thought he meant he's God. Or, oh, I'm suffering because I'm constantly trying to become better. Oh, he's taking his suffering upon us. No, we're all that. We're all that. Not one person in particular plays this role. We all, as a chelik of God, a part of God that is imperfect, that's trying to become perfect. You see, what is amazing about this idea is there is nowhere else where we can explain why there's bad and why there's evil. Okay? See, on two facets. One is, when I say, where was God in the Holocaust? And what's the answer? In the Holocaust. Where was he when a mother lost her child? He was there, right? He is that. He is that version of him that allows himself to go through the pain so he understands what we're going through, right? It's not that God's up there on his throne and he doesn't understand what we're going through and we have to if only I could explain to God why I'm suffering. Who's explaining to God why he's suffering? He is you in this version, in this narrative that's trying to figure out what pain's like. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the person thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somewhere up there and I'm suffering down here, then why would I be connected to him? Right? Why would I want that? Right? But one of my best friends died in the army, and the rabbi said to his mother, "You're allowed to be angry at God." He said, "Why would I be angry at God? God just lost a child." Right? What a crazy ability to think that way. Right? But did I just lose a child? God lost a child also. There was an opportunity here for a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to really manifest his powers in a great way, and that potential is now cut off. Imo Anochi Bitzaro, when God says, "I am with you in your pain," you think that's a cliche? No, he is. The ability for us to be in this journey of growth, that is God being in this journey. God is suffering with us. So when I sin, God also is there in that missed opportunity and saying, we missed it. Why? And And we all know, when our parents came to the Little League and saw us and we missed, and they're like, your father was like more upset than he was more hurt that you missed than you, right? Because he's like so much rooting for you and wants you to see, he's there with you in your pain. You don't have to explain to him how you felt bad when you missed the winning shot. He literally cried, just like you, right? Now imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really there, not sitting in the bleachers. He's there in your muscles, in your ability. But what this also, this understanding that is rooted so much in the depth of our tradition explains also is why there's evil, why there's bad, right? Everything is a potential to become perfect. Bad is the raw potential before it even started making a movement, right? Struggle is when that bad already started with the power of inertia to just start moving. Then it's struggle. And then it becomes good. So many things in our life, when we went through those pains of struggle, we thought it was so bad. And looking back, wow, the best thing that ever happened to me. Right? It shaped who I was. Wait, you thought you said it was bad. It was bad. And then what happened? It became a struggle. And then what happened? It became great. Right? My biggest struggles as being a kid who can't sit in class. Right? My teachers kept saying, "This is not good. He can't sit. He can't listen." Right? That was bad. Became a struggle. And now the fact that I can't sit in class is probably one of the best things that helps me do my job in such a profound way, is that I'm constantly trying to figure it out and work and associations and things are flying all over the place. But there is no bad in the world for the sake of bad. Bad is the raw potential of the incomplete form trying to become complete, trying to become perfect. And when we understand that anything that is right now bad in the world is only helping us become better. Right, the Arab-Israel conflict is just making us better people, that we now have to work around this and around that and around this, and instead of spending our billions of dollars on making rockets that kill other people, we spend billions of dollars on rockets that shoot down rockets, right? And instead of spending billions of dollars on, we're constantly trying to become better versions of ourselves. And that's why God, Kadosh Baruch Hu, did it. He brought us back to a land of 2,000 years that is inhabited. Why? So we have to figure out how to be the best version of ourselves. Right? Why did I happen to have a crush on a girl who's already dating a guy? I had to figure that out, right? And that's exactly what marriage is. Shleimus and Ishtalmus, right? You were perfect, your soul in Gan Eden, and then God separated you into imperfect beings that then can become perfect together. And then together, you are now making God greater. So where does God exist? Ish ve'isha, zachu shechina b'neihem. Where does God exist? B'neihem, in the b'neihem. In that constant tension that exists of we're going to become the better version of ourselves. Right? I always say, Avital didn't marry me. She married the guy she knows that she's going to make me into. And she just saw enough raw material that she says, okay, I can work with this. I can work with this. We can make you into something great. Okay? That's the shleimus and ishtalmus. So when we're talking about why God creates a world that is, you know, imperfect, why am I here? Why am I here? This is not theology. We're not talking about God. We're not studying God. We're studying me. Why am I here? What am I doing? Why do I have struggles? That's why the Zohar and everywhere you're going to look in Hasidus and Kabbalah and Musar is going to tell you the same thing. How do you know what your job is? Everything you struggle with, right? Struggle the most with sexuality? That is why you're here in the world. You're going to perfect sexuality. You're going to be, you know, a sex therapist. You're going to be someone who coaches couples. You're going to be someone who gives talks about that, right? What do you struggle with the most? Anger? Great. That's going to be, right? Wait, I'm supposed to suppress that. Let me focus on what I'm good at. Not until you perfect everything that you're not good in. Do you really realize why you have these good qualities? Our relationship, not only on the macro level of between siblings and between a husband and wife and me and my children, but as a people, and expand that out to a species, and expand that out to a world and to a universe, we are the version of God that God chose to create that is imperfect, but on the way to being perfect. And this is already rigged. This is already a rigged reality. We can't choose to not be perfect. We are heading towards perfection. The only thing we can choose is, do we want to take part? That's what Mordechai says to Esther. Revach v'atzala yamod levedim makom acher. Salvation will come. Will come. 100% there will be salvation. The question is only, do you want to partake in this, Esther? Do you want to be part of this? Right? We will reach perfection. Humanity, our race, our people, we are going to reach Olam Haba, the coming world, where we are coming into our perfect existence. The only question is, do you want to take part? Do you want to be part of making yourself the best version of yourself or not? See, the only difference is that people want to be good people. Why do I want to be good people? Because I want to be good, right? We don't want to be good. We want to be kedoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani, right? Our goal is to be totally transcendent of ourselves and be holy and inclusive because God is. Our not goal is to be good. Our goal is to be holy because we are part of God. So says Rav Kook, okay. Who wants to read to us? Kobe, do you want to read to us Absolute Perfection and Ascent?
What do we think about the divine purpose in producing existence? We say that the absolute perfect is the imperative reality. It has nothing in potential, rather it is fully actualized. However, there is perfection of increasing perfection, which is impossible to be within the divine, since the complete perfect leaves no place for increments. Therefore, in order that the becoming perfection not be missing, the world realm was necessary. Starting from the lowest level, a status of total deficiency, proceeding toward total ascent. Existence was formed in such a manner that would ensure a never-ending ascent. In order to ensure this continual movement upwards, existence was created within the most supreme realm. This lofty level was beyond the capacity for the finite to operate in actuality, although in potential it was possible. However, upon manifestation of existence in actuality, matters broke down. The forces became entangled among themselves and engaging in a sharp war. And so it shall be until the absolute intention for the good will be victorious and all will be fixed, providing the added advantage of giving place to the becoming perfect that ascends with no end, which is a special delight. In this way, creation completes the glory of the Creator.
Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to allow for ultimate perfection, had to allow for a becoming perfect reality. And when we become perfect, we are actually making God perfect. When you work to make yourself perfect, you are actually making God perfect. And this is what the Sfas Emes says in the next source. The Gemara asks the question, what does God care if we shech the animal from here or from here? What does it matter? Kill the animal. Fine, we did it. Okay, what does it matter which side it comes from? And he says, Ki Amidrash Balomar, Shemitzvot Hashemit Barachu Latzorech Shlemut Adam, Lo Latovat Gavoa, Aval Shlemut Adam Vaday Latzorech Gavoa. The mitzvot are to make you the best version of you. God doesn't care. God cares that you become the best version of you. And when you become the best version of you, then God becomes the best version of him. Right? So the mitzvot are really there in order to help you create the best version of you. And that's why, you know, we're constantly trying to look for reasons for the mitzvot. And why is that so funny? Because the reasons for the mitzvot are only going to be what are your reasons. They're going to be totally what allows you to find meaning in it. And what I might see the reason for the mitzvot is going to be totally silly for you, because that's not what your version of your perfection is, right? You're going to be struggling with something else. And everybody has, and this is something you know that I always held very dear to my heart. Everybody has their own struggles. Everybody has their own taifas. And for me to look at somebody and say, I can't believe this person can't wake up, get up for davening, like, what a joke. No. You are struggling with one thing, he's struggling with another thing. We're all struggling with different facets of this reality in order to make ourselves the best version of ourselves. And therefore, our avoda, our relationship here with God is a one where I am constantly trying to embody the fact that I am a version of God that is trying to become perfect. Right? He, Ein Sof, is completely perfect. But Yudke, Vavke, Elohim, Adnut, those are within the world where now he is perfect and I'm imperfect and I'm within him and he's within me and we're trying to get to a better reality where we constantly are going to be perfect. Right? So it says, I'm just going to read the bold of the next line. Tzadikim yoshvim ve'atarotem beroshem, right? This is all in the next world. V'tiyah tzura shal ishtalmuta bilti nifseket mitala hal ashlemuta gmura. Eshet chay lateret ba'ala le'olam amen ve'amen. Right? Yishtabach shmo la'ad ulenetzach netzachim. Shechina holechet u'mitgaberet tamid aliyah achar aliyah le'en keitz v'tachlit. What does it say that when we come to Olam Haba, we're sitting there with our crowns on our head. What's the crowns on our head? That this is shlemus. Right? You're going to feel that you've really worked hard from nothing to something, right? That you've really worked on this idea. And that's why, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we say, he's like, Chai v'kayam, right? Chai v'kayam. What's Chai? Chai is alive. Kayam is existence. So like, are you perfect or not perfect? Is God perfect or is he not perfect? Right? Kedusha, bracha. Is he transcendent or is he immanent? Right? And what's the answer? Both. Both. Is God Shleimus or Ishtalmus? Right? Is the universe God and God is the universe? Or like Bergson said, is God just constantly trying to grow as the world evolves? Both. Both. God is already perfect. And there's a version of him that we're in this version, which is him becoming perfect through us. Through us, we are that version of God that is constantly working towards greatness. Okay? Nicole, do you want to read to us the English of 15?
Life itself, all of life, its very essence cannot possibly be anything other than the elemental longing to be close to God. Thus it fulfills the unique connotation of human life, composed of the desire for a sense of self, shared by all creatures, along with the striving for completeness. In this, it is a true shadow of the absolute, unconditional life of the absolute divine, in the image of God he created him.
Right? So God created us in this image that allows us to constantly yearn to be back in that image. That's why you have so many people who are not interested in the mitzvos. Because why? What's the point? What's the goal? Why am I here? Right? God, why does God allow this world to be so bad? Why are so many things bad? Why are bad things happening to good people? Right? Right? Why are bad things happening to good people? Go ask those people if they think bad's happening to them. They see those struggles as a phenomenal opportunity to grow. Right? It's only your perception that there's bad that's happening to them. Right? The famous story that the Hasidim went to Rabbi Elimelech, Rabbi Zusha. And he said, my brother sent you this way for me to explain to you how bad things happen to good people. I wouldn't know. Nothing bad ever happened to me. Right? How would I answer that question? Right? The good person doesn't ever think that anything's bad, because bad is only it's only if I don't perceive it as a struggle and as a moment of growth. Right? So we're living in a world where our yearning to become perfect is great. And you see so many Jews are searching for Judaism, searching for God everywhere else. And they're going to, Buddhists and yogas and stuff. And they're looking for spirituality because they know that there's a sense of something. I belong to something greater. I was meant for greatness. Right? Right? Like there's a famous quote, and it says, you know, who you are is God's gift to you. Who you'll become is God is your gift to God. Right? Right? Who you will become, that's right. And that's the only thing that your parents really care, right? Like, oh my God, you become such a great person. Every parent thinks their kids, he's perfect, he's amazing, he's great, right? Because they've been with you in that journey of becoming so great. And that's why we have to re-explain. And you know what? Maybe 2,000 years ago, people couldn't understand this, and it went totally the wrong way, right? And the Hasidic Rebbeim, they were talking to, like, you know, just their individual flock of people who were really on the spiritual rise. But now I think it's time, Rav Kook is telling us, it's time to spread to the masses. There is no, the mitzvos are not, you know, God is, I've created a world and I want you to be subservient to me. No, not at all. He is part of this journey. And the reason it's so painful is that God knows that you can do better. And at this moment, you just given up, right? And really our understanding is that we have this constant yearning to come back to our perfect idea, right? How did the world know to evolve in this way? Because God already gave it its image, right? How did all the things know to evolve? Why didn't things all of a sudden evolve sideways instead of forward, right? Evolution doesn't know how to explain this. They don't explain how everything was constantly in a progressive form towards something greater. Right? And we as a species, as human beings, we're always constantly trying to become better because we are part of this story of the imperfect being perfect. Let's just see David read to us the next English, and then I want to finish up with Reb Nachman.
Whatever you lack is also lacked by God. For man is a part of God, and the whole suffers the want of the part. Therefore, let your prayers be directed to the want of the whole. Pray for pray continually for God's glory, that it may be redeemed from its exile. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. If he is able but not willing, then he is malevolent. If he is both able and willing, then whence comes evil? If he's neither able nor willing, then why call him God?
Right. So we see the philosophers, they're not really sure what is the answer. And the answer is that God has the potential. God is perfect. And he has the potential of not being perfect. And he's part of this journey, right? That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is never trying to force us to do things. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to take us out of Egypt and bring us right into Eretz Yisrael. But the people aren't ready. Oh, they're going to see war. It's okay. We're going to go the other way around, right? And that's why Am Yisrael said and God had to, you know, force them to take the Torah Shebaal Peh. Because they just wanted the Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebichtav is Shlemus. Torah Shebaal Peh is Ishtalmus, right? What's the halacha? I don't know. We got to figure it out. It's a different world we live in, right? What's the halacha of phones? I don't know. It's a great question. We got to figure it out. That's the ishlemus. That's the ishtalmus part, right? So Rabbi Nachman says, "V'techasreu me'at me'elokim ve'kavod ve'atar te'atiris." Doesn't tell him that we are missing from God. Hine yadua ki kol ma shachisaron le'adam hein beruchani hein gashmi hachisaron hu hashchina, right? Upe'uchinat elokim, and that's the bechina of elokim. Elokim is constriction, right? So there's a lacking in God. V'zeu v'techasreu me'at me'elokim. Haynu hachisaron v'adai me'elokim. Haynu hashchina. Ach ki yodua zot. If a person understands that there's a lacking in God, then he's going to be sad. He's going to try to fix it. If you knew that there's, you know, your parents are stuck in a, you know, financially, you're going to do everything in your power to help them. Right? That's why a person has to always ask himself, God is imperfect because I'm not perfect. What can I do better to make God perfect? And the fact that God tells us I'm not perfect and you have the opportunity to make me perfect, is there any greater honor? Is there any greater honor? Can we give God any greater honor than knowing that his perfection is dependent on us? Right? So every moment in my life, I have to live a life where I'm asking myself, I'm the potential of God to become perfect. And what am I doing? How am I living my life in a way that I am becoming the best version of myself, becoming the perfect being, and by that, making God perfect? More on that next time.